Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call the August 12, 2019 meeting of the City Council of University City to order at 6:30. Ms. Reese, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Clay. Councilmember Carr.
Present.
Councilmember McMahon.
Here.
Councilmember Hales.
Here.
Councilmember Cusick.
Here.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Here.
Mayor Crow.
Here. Thank you very much. You have before you the agenda. I believe that first, if I could have a motion that the agenda be approved. Motion by Mr. Hale, seconded by Mr. Cusick. And I believe that the city manager has a number of changes to the agenda for the evening.
Honorable Mayor and Council, there are a few items that I would like to modify on the agenda. Can you hear me? Okay. Item I-2, I would like to withdraw from the public hearing section of the agenda. Up under the consent agenda, J1, I would ask to move to the city manager's report. J2, I would ask to withdraw. J8, 10, 11, 12, I would ask to move to the city manager's section of the agenda. Also, I wanted to note there were some numbering issues for the resolutions that we will correct.
So you have before you two items that were deleted, both regarding a liquor license, and then a number of items moved from the consent agenda to the city manager's report. Is there a motion for that agenda? Excuse me, for that amendment?
So moved.
Yes, Mr. Cusick. Thank you. Any discussion on the amendment? Those in favor of amending the agenda, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The ayes have it. Those approving the agenda now, since we've amended it, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Mr. Smotherson, do you have a question?
I was waiting for the discussion, and I guess I missed it on the agenda items.
Oh, go ahead.
No, and again,
we were just moving them to so we could have a discussion on some of them.
No, I understand that. I do understand that. And I just wanted to kind of make the point, and the city manager has kind of helped me with what he's moved, and the issue that I had, and I just wanted to say, because we haven't met in I guess over a month, and they're having so many of these agenda items on the list, I was just kind of curious why that was the case, and I know it's probably because of distance, but understanding that there's, you know, we just got this schedule, we just got the agenda on Friday, and here we have 13 agenda items to look through, and over a million and a half in money that actually is being approved. It's just so quick of a time that it doesn't give me and or any of my constituents time to actually review this and look at this and actually understand what's going on and digest this is what I'm actually saying. So, again, with the move of the number of items that have been moved, I'm fine. I just wanted to make that point. So, thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I will now move forward with we do have a proclamation. Does not need to be read, but I would ask my colleagues before you leave this evening if you could sign the proclamation regarding the University City High School class of 1964. You have before you the minutes of the July 8th, 2019 regular session. Is there a motion to approve? Motion by Ms. Carr, seconded by Mr. Hales. Is there discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. You have before you the study session minutes regarding the dog park from July the 8th of 2019. Is there a motion that those minutes be approved? Ms. Carr, is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Smotherson. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Smotherson, you have appointments.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Crow. I wanted to state that Eleanor Mullen and Carla Teeters Brown are nominated for reappointment to the Municipal Commission on Arts and Letters.
Is there a second? Seconded by Ms. Carr. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. I would like to nominate Jim Noah Grocki to the Civil Service Review Board, replacing Barbara Sidnor. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Hales. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. We have no swearing ins. The next section we have is citizen participation, to which we allocate 15 minutes at the beginning of council meeting. For those of you who may have just arrived, there are sign-in sheets over by the door if you'd like to sign in to speak. Each speaker is asked to stand up and come forward, hit the button at the bottom to turn on the microphone, give your name and address, and adhere to the time limit of 5 minutes. If we do not get through all the speakers during this section of citizen participation, there is also a section at the end of the meeting as well. The first person who has signed up to speak this evening during this section of the agenda is Douglas Killebrew. There's a button at the bottom center.
Center.
There you go.
Here we go. Okay. I'm Doug Killebrew. I live at 6354 Pershing in Parkview. I've lived there for 47 years, raised a family there, including four children who have all gone out in the world. They went completely through University City Schools from kindergarten to high school. One's an attorney. Sorry about that. Second is a scientist. The third is still trying to figure out what she can do with her degrees from Stanford and Oxford. And fourth is a project manager for a manufacturing company right here in University City. What I want to talk about today is the policy recently implemented in regard to street musicians. It's been my pleasure to watch over the years the development and growth in of Del Mar and the success that is in no part, small part, is due to the progressive policies of this organization. So the street musicians recently have, there's been a policy in regard to all kinds of people on the street, and the net effect is the street musicians really are kind of cut out of the picture. I understand and agree to a certain extent with a tightening of restrictions on people approaching people for donations and preaching crazy things and some of the problems that have occurred with so-called street people. But cracking down on musicians seems to me a situation of throwing the baby out with the bathwater. We have had some very talented people on the street. I remember a Pakistani musician that played regularly in the area where the Chuck Berry statue is. Had an amazing repertoire playing an electric sitar, which is a pretty novel musical instrument to begin with. We have had a very talented saxophone player playing by vintage vinyl. I could go on and on, but you know what I mean. There are successful musicians that for one reason or another, maybe they just don't have a regular job or have health problems or whatever, and chosen to appear and just play for money on the street. In the spirit of keeping the Del Mar scene as vibrant as it has been, it seems to me that this policy, and specifically in regard to musicians, ought to be reviewed and modified. It's been a definite positive addition that adds to the novelty and experience of walking on Del Mar and looking for a place to eat or shop to whatever, and in keeping with the general success that is shown so far with the administration of the policies on Del Mar, I would advocate that you review this policy in regard to how the police implement it so that street musicians can continue. I'm told by the police right now they technically can still appear, but they have to keep moving, which is kind of hard to do for most musicians. So that is my request, that you review this policy and do something about it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next request to speak is Donna McGee.
Hello, good evening. My name is Donna McGee. My address is 7584 Melrose. Yes, it's been an interesting journey. I've gotten to know a lot of you all, and you can see my personality. I'm pretty persistent. I don't give up. Nevertheless, I'm cordial. I thank you, Councilwoman Carr, for that compliment. This has been an interesting journey. Before I talk about the infamous tree, I'd like to commend the UCity Police Department. I've been on vacation, and I got a chance to go by the station, and they're very watchful. I filled out a form, so I commend them, not just for that, for being attentive. I guess I have the same spirit as the person who I purchased the house from. We're very watchful, and we will call. So I do commend them for being watchful. Regarding the tree, I'd like to also thank Mr. Durkle. I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly. Who works with the Forestry Department, I don't know your exact title, for addressing the Euronymous growing up the two ash trees at the end of my block. They were blocking the street sign, and I see that the team has gotten out there and cut those down, and it's really good because you can see the parking lot of the church. There have been some people sitting up on the lot at times, and they don't go to the church because I will ask, but they were just kind of congregating. So with that area being cleared, that's a really good safety issue that was addressed. So I do thank the forestry team for addressing that. I also spoke with Mr. Rose, as well as the Mr. Durkle. And Mr. Rose, we agree that we disagree about the tree. I know your solution is to work around the tree. And I'm not a tree hater. I do have a bachelor's in biology, one of my degrees, so I'm not a tree hater, but it's just not the right tree in the right place, okay? It belongs in a park somewhere. I have no tree lawn to anchor it, and it's right at the base of my driveway. So we agree that we disagree about that, and I do agree with you about some things regarding education. So thank you for that speech for the educators. I do appreciate that. The street team who addressed the driveway issue, they put some asphalt at the base of the driveway to kind of bridge that area up onto the curb. I can be honest, it looks kind of tacky, but I commended the guys for doing so, and I told them that I would let Mr. C9 know that they addressed the situation. They wanted to take a picture of me getting up in my driveway. I'm like, guys, it's not that serious. But I did let them know that I would tell Mr. C9 that they addressed the situation, so that part has been addressed. The root is still there. It's not going to go away. The canopy is as wide as it is underground. The root is still there. Everybody's working around that tree, but I would love people to work around human beings, you know, a little bit more regarding the situation. So, of course, being who I am, I still want the tree down. I do. The two branches are encroaching over my property, and this is what, I don't mind raking leaves. It's fun, but this is what's in my gutter. And my gutters were fine when I moved in the house, passed inspection and everything. But my roofing guy, who inspects my roof every season, got up there and he's like, oh, wow, you have all of this in your gutter. So he cleaned it out, of course. It's still kind of loose. But trees shed leaves. Yes, they do. I get that. I study them. They do that. But this is what's constantly in my gutters. Okay, the sycamores that line Delmar. Okay, yeah, they drop some of this too, but they have a tree lawn, and they have people who clean the streets. I clean my streets. I clean my cul-de-sac. I get out there, you know, and clean it. So that's my concern. I still want it down. There are other things you can plant at the base of a driveway, okay? So I will pay for a seedling if it needs to be planted. That's not an issue. But again, there's a list of trees on the list of trees that's approved in a tree manual. And I've talked to the forester about that. And again, my roofer mentioned that this is what he constantly cleans out. Okay, so it's a concern. I do appreciate your time. I appreciate the opportunity to address this, and I am who I am. I will constantly address this situation because, again, it costs more to pay for a tree that's fallen on your car or on your house. I've had that experience. I don't want that again, and I feel it's beneficial for me to address it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next request to speak is Tom Jennings.
Yeah, my name is Tom Jennings, 7055 Forsyth. Number one, I just wanted to thank, I put calls into my councilman, and Jeff got back with me having to do with the refinishing of Forsyth. And I had expressed this before here, saying let's delay it because of all the work at Centene with Our Lady of Lourdes, with the building house, and Jeff was very nice to explain that this was input from the federal government money that's being put into it, and you better use it or lose it. And it makes a whole lot more sense that you're going ahead with the project. And so far, what I've seen coming down the streets, they've done a very nice job on it. What I do have is a request, if I could. My neighbor across the street has a, thanks to Mr. Smotherson's input when he developed the parking places for handicap with a designation. When they do the south side, if they could move some kind of signage so that my neighbor across the street who does have a designated spot, if she could get that so that there would be a place for her to be very close to her residence. And the other one thing I'd like to address is, because I did go, we went to the meeting when they had the development on Bland for the apartment for the dog care place. I really hope somebody spends a lot of time looking at this very carefully and does pay attention to the neighbors. Obviously, the outpour was huge, and I couldn't see having 25 dogs barking at my back door day in and day out. That would be, I just think that would be horrible. And the fact that the person's not going to be there between 7 in the evening and 7 in the morning, that ought to be really taken into consideration. Thank you very much.
Our final request to speak is Paul Schumer. You're already on. You're on.
Turn it off. Okay. Members of the council, friends,
Paul, you may want to move the microphone down. Thank you.
Okay, you got it. Just a quick note on the question of street musicians. This has been a point of discussion for about 40 years. The current plan is in answer to the requests of the Special Benefit Tax District. Joe Edwards is president. And it addresses questions of a number of miscreants and misusers, as well as certainly desirable musicians and on the street practitioners. But the meetings of the special benefit tax districts are Tuesday mornings, and I'd have to go back and find my calendar before I could tell you which one. But they're always open, and everybody is recognized, and your complaint or suggestion could be registered there and might frequently get action. Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes the citizen participation portion of the agenda. We're now going to move to public hearings. I would like to open the public hearing for DJ Food, Inc., at 6:49 p.m. Madam Clerk, is there anyone who has asked to speak on this agenda item?
None at this time.
Hearing no request to speak, this hearing will be closed at 6:49 p.m. We'll now move forward to the consent agenda, and I believe the first item now on the consent agenda, we've got items 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, and 13. Those items are all on the consent agenda. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda? Motion by Mr. Hales. Is there a second? Seconded by Ms. Carr. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. We're now going to move forward to the city manager's report. Mr. Rose, would you like to take the items from the top?
Yes.
Okay, if we could move forward now with the liquor license approval for DJ Foods. Am I correct?
That's correct. This item, Honorable Mayor and Council members, this item asked you to consider a liquor license for DJ Food, Inc. The applicant for the license is Anthony Lee. It was reviewed by staff, and no issues of concern were identified. I'm recommending this item for approval.
Is there a motion to approve? Motion to approve by Mr. Clay, seconded by Mr. Cusick. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. We'll now move on, I believe, to sidewalks and curbs.
That is correct, Mayor. Honorable Mayor and Council members, this item asks for you to consider Project 1429 being the sidewalk and curb replacement project. On July 15 of this year, the city opened bids for the sidewalk and curb replacement project. The lowest bidder was Pride Master, who has also performed this work for the city in the past. We received very favorable bids. A total of $500,000 was budgeted for this sidewalk and curb replacement project. With that, the bid came in at $386,185.73. Because the bids are favorable, we're asking to amend this bid to $450,000, which would enable us to simply do more sidewalks and curbs. And I am recommending the item for approval.
Is there a motion to approve as amended? Mr. Cusick, is there a second? Seconded by Ms. Carr. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. EMS?
That's correct, Mayor. Honorable Mayor and Council members, this item asked you to consider EMS ambulance and equipment purchases. Purchases were made through the HGAC by Houston Galveston Area Council Cooperative, a government procurement service. The purchases were as follows: $166,314. Emergency services supply for two Freightliner M2 chassis, $5,511.03. For emergency services supply, a remount upgrades, $78,385.32. Zoll Medical Corporation for two new cardiac monitors and equipment. I am recommending that the mayor and council ratify the purchase of this equipment.
Is there such a motion? Motion by Ms. Carr, seconded by Mr. McMahon. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. A remount purchase.
Honorable Mayor and Council members, this item asks the Council to consider an EMS ambulance remount purchase. The purchase of the remount has been included in the FY 2020 budget as part of the CIP program. The cost for the remount is $55,388.97. I am recommending that the Council approve the purchase.
Thank you. Is there a motion? A motion by Mr. McMahon, seconded by Ms. Carr. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Number 12, the conditional use permit extension.
Yes. Honorable Mayor and Council member, this item asks the Council to consider a conditional use permit extension request, construction of a new building at 6901 Del Mar Boulevard, and allowing for increased building height and a church office use within a PA public activity district. Per a letter dated August 3rd, 2019. The Church of Scientology and their program manager have submitted a formal request for an extension of the CUP. And I would ask Mr. Cross to come forward to present this item.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the last part of your on the item. Just give an update?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Clifford Cross, Planning Director. As Mr. Rose touched on this, this was originally a CUP that was required because they were expanding upon the non-conforming use. What they have experienced during the process, basically during a fact-finding mission, is that some of the original proposals in the design have taken longer to address. So what they're asking for is the extension to allow for a different job scope to be completed and everything, excuse me, everything to be done. Got a cold, sorry.
Honorable Mayor and Council, I'm recommending approval of this item.
Thank you. Is there a motion? Motion by Ms. Carr, seconded by Mr. Kusick. Any discussion? Ms. Carr.
Thank you. Mr. Cross?
Yes.
Other than the delay in time, there are no changes to the conditional use permit.
There are absolutely no changes to the CUP. In fact, it will still follow the same process of going, for the plan review, administrative review, and ultimately staff approval. But there are absolutely no changes to the existing CUP.
Thank you very much.
Any further discussion? Hearing none. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much.
Now, excuse me. Sorry.
Now if we can move forward to the city manager's report. EDRST funding request.
Honorable Mayor and Council members, this item asks you to consider the EDRST funding recommendations. On July 9 of this year, the EDRST board met and considered all applications that were submitted for EDRST funding. The board voted to recommend the following applications for funding: U City Farmers Market for $28,500. St. Louis Arts for $11,100. U City School District EMT Training for $68,300. U City in Bloom for $50,573. And the University City Facade Improvement Program for $150,000. I concur with the EDRST Board's recommendation with one modification, that being that the St. Louis Arts, which has agreed to relocate their mural project to the interior of the city's parking garage to be painted on the wall rather than an interior location at Barber C. Jordan. I am recommending approval of those aforementioned projects.
Is there a motion? Motion by Ms. Carr, seconded by Mr. Kusick. Any discussion? Mr. Smotherson.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mayor Crow. There's a quick question that I have about the facade improvement, and I'm just asking, I'm just wanting to find out, is where exactly is there a limit to where it is? And the reason I say the limit, and what I mean by that is, with the future of Olive and the development that's going to be happening on Olive, I don't see a point in applying this facade improvement or allowing anyone in the area west of Groby and Mount Olive to even apply for this because of the changes that could possibly happen in the future of Olive in that section, meaning west of Groby and Mount Olive and to 170. So I'm just hoping that we do understand that this wouldn't necessarily help that area at all.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Smotherson, I certainly understand. Our rules don't prevent anyone along Del Mar or Olive Boulevard from applying. We would certainly be sensitive to the fact that is targeted for redevelopment. But ultimately, the mayor and council would make that decision as we brought those items forward for your consideration.
And, okay. And you did west of Groby versus McKnight because
west of Groby and Mount Olive. which is the other street across from Groby. So off of Olive. Yes,
but that's a good little chunk from there to McKnight.
Yeah, I know it is.
And you're wanting those folks not to be able to have facade.
Well, he's explained it in that it would be up to our improvement because
right.
And the reason I say that is because the facade program hasn't really worked on Olive at all. As long as we've had this, it's never really worked on Olive. So I don't want to try to start something that's not, you know, that hasn't proven to work well there. And then we've got a future of development that could happen. So that's all.
Okay.
That's my just concern about that. But I did have one other point to make about this. And with the UCity District EMT training, and which was something that I had talked to Chief Henson about, and I absolutely appreciate the fact that he went ahead and did this with the high school, because one of the problems that I have with the issues, and I've talked to him about this, is that there are not enough minority recruits. And one of the things that I said to him, and it looks like he actually took that to heart, is that you've got a recruiting class of people, of students, right at the high school. So I appreciate Chief Henson about this. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ms. Carr.
Mr. Rose, can you tell me a little bit about the St. Louis Artworks? Who will be doing the artwork? I know it was scheduled for Barbara Jordan, and now we're going to put it more appropriately, I believe, in our parking garage. Thank you.
Honorable Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, that is correct. Our intention is to use those funds in a way that better markets the Loop. So we approached St. Louis Artworks about their willingness to relocate the project, and they indicated a desire and a willingness to relocate it. So I believe that location is a better fit.
Okay, and then the student artists that will be participating, that they'll still involve them, is that correct?
Honorable Mayor Pro Tem, that is correct.
Thank you.
Nothing else changes about the project.
Thank you.
Nope. Pardon me. Mr. Hugh, we'd like to make sure that someone gets a chance to talk to you about the application. So, I wanted to make sure I answered your question. So, can you?
He was the owner of.
Yes, actually,
Keith.
Okay, I apologize for that. You have before you the EDRST funding request. Are there any further any items to discuss otherwise within that number? Sir.
I'm sorry, Mayor. I was pointing at Cliff, so could you repeat your question?
Any other questions from members of council? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. We'll now move forward to the Olive and 170 redevelopment project update. We do have one request to speak from a citizen. I assume we'll have the city manager speak first and then the citizen comment.
Honorable Mayor and council members, it is my intention going forward on roughly a quarterly basis to provide you and the public with an update on what is perhaps one of the largest projects that has ever occurred in University City. Effective June the 13th, the redevelopment agreement that you approved went into effect. I wanted to talk a little bit about what the next steps are for that project. Novus Development is in the process of still working to acquire a property. At the low end, that will take about 6 months to conclude. At the high end, we are estimating about 18 months. So anywhere from 6 to 18 months, we believe, is what's going to be required to conclude the property acquisition phase. They are also seeking to obtain the best financing for the project. They are in the process of leasing up the various spaces. Once those things have concluded, and somewhat simultaneously, they will need to go through our development processes, which means the zoning process for the various parcels. We will also begin working with the businesses and residents that will be a part of the relocation process to identify those that desire to remain here within University City and those that are moving in a different direction. They will also start the construction process. They will need to ready the land for a development and then start building and construction. There have been some questions about what is the time period when the city can start expecting to receive revenues from that project. That is probably 24 months out before it will actually start generating revenues for the city that can be used for either Olive Third Ward or the Olive Boulevard corridor. That concludes my presentation.
We have one request to speak from a citizen, Mr. Tears.
Thank you, Gerald Tears, 7345 Chamberlain. Well, I hadn't actually intended to reply to our city manager. I found it on the agenda and was already going to make some comments here, so I felt it obligated to refer to that when putting in request to speak. Well, as you're aware, I'm completely in agreement with you on the desirability of the Olive 270 development. It's intended to generate funds for the work to reverse the new threats to and historical neglect of Ward 3, a fact that you've all pointed out and which I entirely agree with and support. I'm a little concerned, and City Manager Rose did address that briefly. I had assumed some action to acquire property such as residences that were already under a conditional contract would have probably started already. However, as of a couple days ago, that is Friday, I noticed the county records showed only 4 residences and 3 business parcels are actually owned by the developer as of right now. I have to say there's a caveat on the public storage facility. There's something that the county's mentioned on that. All right. The records may simply not be up to date, of course, but this points out an important fact. Work in Ward 3 should not be dependent only on this development. The new issues facing Ward 3 will not go away. They will not stay within Ward 3. They will be coming to your ward if not taken seriously now. This is not an isolated problem. It affects all of our city, not just Ward 3. It would have to be addressed even if there were no development. University City cannot succeed unless Ward 3 is thriving. The new factors in Ward 3, as you, I'm sure, are aware, include bulk rental landlords owning many properties, some of whom are absentee landlords asking top dollar and caring nothing for maintenance. There's new crime of various sorts, trash dumping, property neglect, etc. Property values in some areas are now too low for bank loans, leaving the low-ball rental investors as the only buyers when residents need to sell. We all know this. There's a risk of some areas actually becoming true slums. These are the same problems that many other cities are facing. We're not unique. Well, I've been studying what other cities have been doing to reverse these trends, and that has been a real eye-opener. I recommend you look into it. These problems have a lot of interlinking parts. Every action that may be taken by the city to correct some issue, no matter how good it seems to be by itself, has the risk of unforeseen consequences that may undo all the good that was intended and may even do more harm. The common thread among cities that have succeeded is strong planning by the city, done by qualified city personnel who understand the local conditions with the full support of the entire city government. The successful plans coordinate all the corrective actions so that the real local problems are effectively addressed without surprises that are counterproductive. One size definitely does not fit all. This requires qualified people with experience and understanding of the issues and solutions. Fortunately, qualified people are on UCity staff now. It also requires time to study the true local conditions and develop the plans. It cannot be done on the fly. My engineering background shows me that in-depth identification and analysis of problems is needed, taking all factors into account before an effective plan for anything can be developed. The obvious solution is very often completely wrong. We are, as I think, all agreed on the results that are wanted. But I'm hearing that planning is considered to be not needed yet. I'm very concerned that leaving planning until later is a recipe for failure. I suggest that for the Ward 3 work to give the results the entire city needs, planning by the city needs to start now. It needs the full support of City Council and administration, as well as the involvement of residents and other stakeholders. I urge you to have city staff start this planning process now. Thank you. I'd like to put this in.
Thank you. Are there any questions from members of council regarding the Olive and 170 redevelopment project update? Mr. Clay. Yep.
City Manager Rose, you mentioned quarterly updates, but as things may emerge, because we know this is a dynamic process, so things may come up. Would we expect, if there are significant things that the community needs to be aware of, we would abandon that quarterly construct and let the public know as things of significance come up?
Honorable Mayor and Councilmember Clay, that's correct. Issues emerge that are worthy of presenting that information to the council and to the public, my intention would be to brief you.
I would just respond by this. It has been my experience in communicating with Third Ward folks in particular, and specifically those in RPA 1. We need not fear a lack of complete information. I think outreach, communication, even if it is incomplete, I think is welcome, because if nothing else, it just reminds our constituents, and particularly those who are most impacted by this, that, hey, we're thinking about them, and we are doing what we can do, understanding that much of this work is now in the hands of Novus, but even just our outreach, I think, allows folks to appreciate that we are thinking about them. So I think we cannot be fearful of the perfect being the or allowing the perfect to be the enemy of the good in terms of communication.
Hearing no further discussion, let's please move on to the update of the flooding issues.
Honorable Mayor and Council members, I had the opportunity last week to tour the River to Pier, that channel within University City, and was able to identify several of the reasons why flooding continues to exist here in University City. The biggest part, there are two main areas. One has to do with the maintenance of the existing channel, and then the other has to do with the design. There needs to be clear understanding of who will have responsibility for maintaining that channel. And right now it is in such a state that I think that it contributes to the flooding. If you recall when MSD performed the presentation before the mayor and council, we asked that question specifically, and it was advised that it was the responsibility of the residents. And I don't believe that is adequate. So I'll be asking the mayor and council as a part of the legislative platform to authorize staff to begin lobbying efforts to really clearly define who has responsibility for maintenance. The other end has to do with the design of the channel, and there are several choke points where the width of the channel simply isn't wide enough to accommodate all of the water that flows. I'll be asking the mayor and council to allow me to work with the Army Corps of Engineers as well as with MSD on a comprehensive study of the channel to determine what are the best options for correcting the flooding situations that are occurring. I have taken the opportunity to direct the Public Works Director to schedule a meeting between us and the Corps of Engineers and MSD so that we can begin having discussions about real solutions to this problem. One of the policies that are currently in place is the buyout policy, and that I will be asking the Mayor and Council to revisit. Our climate is simply changing, and unless you intend to continue to extend the area for that buyout, I'm not so sure how effective we will be with executing that type of policy. Recently, we attempted to purchase Hafner Court apartments, but the price exceeded the amount of the grant, and so that was not successful. I can share with you as well that even though we continue to have flooding situations, I would commend our fire department in their outreach to contact those residents that are in immediate harm from flooding situations. They do an excellent job with outreach and trying to ensure that before the flooding occurs, that we notify those residents that are in harm's way. Also, I would comment that you have a commission that is taking a very close look at a early warning notification system that I know that the Mayor Pro Tem is heavily involved with. So those conclude my comments regarding the flooding and would take any questions that you might have.
Ms. Carr.
Thank you, Mayor. So this is not so much a question as kind of an update from the Stormwater Task Force. Not only are they proposing an early warning system, and they're just on the verge of publishing their report, but they noticed several weeks ago, is that correct, that one of the choke points happens to be, or several, happen to be the bridges. And in particular, the bridge over Pennsylvania just south of Heman Park. And so that goes in line with what you said about clearing out the channel itself has been severely silted in. But the bridge is further restricting the flow of water right there and backing it upstream. So I what I really want to do is commend the work of these participants. They've done a phenomenal job. They will be submitting a report within the next several months, and I think that should aid in your negotiations and even possibly with a stormwater plan that we develop.
Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. I want to go back to Hafner Court Apartments and talk about the situation with those apartments but before I do that, what I'd like to do is ask the city clerk to put this letter that was placed on our desk into record. And the reason and what this letter is, and I'm hoping that the city manager or the city clerk can read this letter from FEMA and so that we can understand. And the point of this is, the reason I asked for this letter is because I'm not sure it really is consistent with the issue that happened, that the price exceeded the amount of the grant. And what I'll explain is this. Hafner Court Apartments, and I know that some of you probably don't remember this, but in 2015, Hafner Court Apartments flooded so bad that they were flooded up to the first floor going into the second floor of those apartments. And literally what happened is that there were some police that literally had to swim into that apartment complex to pull people out of their house, out of the apartments. That was part of the reason why we asked for the grant from FEMA. So the confusion is that I'm having is that this letter doesn't necessarily reflect the reason that we lost this grant. The grant was for $3.3 million. We were supposed to purchase and buy Hafner Court Apartments. And the reason this is relevant is because this fell through.
And then we just had a recent incident with Hafner and Westover apartment buildings flooding. The first question the next day I got was, why are people in Hafner Court apartment? I thought they were bought out by the city. And the reason people thought that is because we had a grant that we were supposed to receive that was on the agenda August 14, 2017. Nothing was ever said about that publicly. So that's why people thought we bought Hafner Court apartments. We did not. So if this can be read into the record, I would appreciate it. And then I may have another question after that. But I'd like to have this letter read into record.
Regarding acquisition project for commercial structures located at 8-33-856, 8011-8024, and 8061 through 8082 Hafner Court, University City, FEMA PG 07 in Missouri, 2016-008. Dear Mr. Appleson, the purpose of this letter is to inform you that the buyout grant referenced above is being terminated due to non-compliance with the terms of the grant agreement. The State Emergency Management Agency, SEMA, has worked with the city to the greatest extent possible to allow a revised work schedule to ensure the work could be achieved within the grant period, the grant's period of performance. It has been determined this is now not feasible since the city is not on track with the revised work schedule. If there are any eligible expenses incurred by the city, please forward a request for funds so these expenses can be reimbursed. The RFF must be received by SEMA no later than September 21st, 2018, in order to be considered for reimbursement. It is with great disappointment that this action must be taken. We look forward to working with University City, however, on future projects.
Thank you. Thank you. And I just simply wanted to say this, and I'm sorry. What I wanted to say is that, okay, so that answers the question now. Publicly, that answered the question. We were going to get a grant on August 14th, 2017. Now we weren't, as of this letter, September 7, 2018. So again, the question that I have about this letter is, what was it that the city wasn't complying with? Because I don't understand that doesn't sound like it was about price exceeding the negotiation between the apartment or that ownership. And so if you can kind of explain that, if there's a reason.
Sure. Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Smotherson, two things. One is that I asked C9 to come up to share with you what the asking price was, as well as what the grant amount for the property was, and include, if you have it available, the appraised value for the property. We were unable to comply with the terms of the grant because the owners would not reduce their price. So let's assume that the grant came in at $1 million, but the appraised value for the project for the property was $1.5 million. And the asking value for the project was $1.8 million. We were not in a position to simply say we can accept the grant, but still not be able to own the property. So what we did was simply try to negotiate with two entities. One was FEMA or SEMA to increase the amount of grant to cover the full cost of the project. They were unwilling to do that. Secondly, Sinan and his staff worked with the property owner to try and get him to reduce the cost to be consistent with the grant, and the property owner was unwilling to do that. So I will ask Sinan to share with you and the public what the asking price was, as well as what the proposed grant amount was.
The first appraisal was $2.9 million for the three properties. The first appraisal was $3.5 million for the three properties. Second appraisal was $2.9 million for the three properties. The grant amount in the grant for the three properties that we had was $2.2 million. And the total grant was $3.3 million. And so on top of the purchase acquisition price of the properties, a total of $1.1 million were needed to cover tenant relocation, agent and assistance, management fee, and the demolition cost.
So just to clarify what Mr. Sinon has indicated, is that the difference between the grant amount and the total amount needed for the relocation and the purchase of that property was $1.1 million. So we had asked, again, SEMA to increase the grant amount so they covered everything. They would not do that, and we had asked the owners to reduce the cost of the property so that it would fall within the amounts that SEMA and FEMA had provided, and they were unwilling to do that.
Okay, well, my last question, are we reapplying this year? Because, again, Hafner Court Apartments are at risk of flooding. I mean, nothing's really changing about that.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Smotherson, yes, I've asked that we reapply, but reapply for the entire amount that would cover the relocation and the purchase of the properties.
Mr. Clay.
Thank you, Mayor. I did want to highlight, it was referenced that there was flooding recently in July that impacted Hafner Court Apartments and Westover Apartments. 20 of our fellow Usitians were impacted by that. They actually had to flee their homes. They had to find temporary shelters while their apartments were remodeled. These were first-floor units. In conversations with these residents, myself and Councilman Smotherson had, you know, we tried to work with the Red Cross, the city, certainly the city manager engaged the Red Cross, United Way, and other agencies to try to assist folks. What we found is that there were several folks without renter's insurance, but even those with renter's insurance often had policies that did not cover flood intrusion that was external. A pipe burst within the home, then they were covered. But if water intruded from the outside, they were not covered. So even those that thought they had protection in some cases found out that that was not what they thought it would be. So the city manager did reach out to, again, other agencies to try to get support for these folks. I appreciate the efforts of Councilman Smotherson and Councilwoman Carr as relating to a policy level. But also we need to remember, and I believe that everybody does, that this impacts real people. And in the case of some of our folks, folks who may not have a lot of resources and options. So that's just something we need to keep in mind.
Ms. Carr.
So I have a couple of questions, and then maybe, well, actually, three questions. So first of all, this is an apartment building, correct? And so all of the people living there have some kind of leases. Is that correct?
Honorable Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, that is correct.
Okay, and so knowing the propensity for that first floor to flood, is why are we giving permits to reoccupy the first floor?
Honorable Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, that's something we can take a look into to determine if it is possible to not permit occupancy of those units, but it would have to be consistent, and I'm looking at Cliff to come up with what our codes state, because you would effectively be condemning those units at that point.
Yeah. Could you use the microphone, please?
We still have to follow the property maintenance code. And per that code, we can't condemn them based on that. Now, one thing we did suggest is possibly that they work on renter's insurance to cover flooding with the property owners, but we cannot condemn it if it's not in violation of the property maintenance.
That may be the case. I'm just a little bit concerned. We know the problem exists. We know that we are not able to reach an agreement with the owners to purchase it. And yet we're saying it's okay, and the owners are putting people in harm's way by renting those spaces. That's just my assessment. Yeah. It may not be the law, but it's my assessment. I guess for whatever it is, the owners want an amount above what
right.
we can pay.
Well, and it goes back to Mr. Rose's initial comment. We can work on the pre-mitigation buyout grant, and with that grant, we can account for those additional costs for relocation and associated with that property. With the pre-mitigation, that's the purpose, to mitigate any potential future flooding issues that come with that. Now, one thing that I do want to caution when we do that, and the purpose of that is, you not only have the acquisition, but you ultimately have the demolition and the land clearance, and there cannot be any rebuilds or anything on that property. That compensation is accounted for completely in that grant. And that's going to be the goal when I know I'm going to work with Sinan on this grant application, because I've done them before. And we'll get that accounted for as part of this application and any required match.
And I really hope that we are able to obtain that grant. However, the people who are living there probably don't have the economic means to obtain the kind of insurance that you're talking about. So
So
we are somehow knowingly, I think we just have to try something else. Whatever it is, for the number of years, just hasn't been working. And I also received calls in 2015 and before about cars being flooded out there and the water intruding into the apartments themselves. So we know it's going to happen again. When, I can't tell you, but it is going to happen again. I also want to remind council, for those that remember, my fight to retain this money, but we should have in the reserves $750,000 that was put aside to deal with buyouts or other things. And that was in the CAFR, I believe, from 2015 or 16, and I hope that the money might still be there, but that may be another source of revenue if the council decides that they want to use it in that manner.
Yeah, it's a 75-25 grant, so that's mm-hmm. $750,000 what you want to do. One thing I would suggest, though, is a lot of states have what they call a global match. And the way these are created is when you have a natural disaster, FEMA requires a certain percentage of money be put aside from that grant for pre-mitigation activities. So one of the tricks we could look into doing is applying for a federal FEMA grant and using a SEMA match so we could get it funded completely at the total cost of the project.
Yeah. All I can say is that thank God no one was injured
yep.
or harmed. And but in 2008, that wasn't the case. And there's always the possibility that someone can be hurt. And so I think that for me, then the priority becomes, especially in this area, this particular apartment building seems to be, although most of the properties are in Ward 2 as opposed to any other ward, this one seems to be a problem. And if we can't get creative and make sure that those apartments on the first floor are not leased to anyone, at least we need to move forward somehow.
Correct.
To make sure that during the next flooding season, which could be this fall, that we are not faced with this.
We can look at some other options as well. Look at some additional grants that can do some physical improvements to the site. We'll see what we can find.
Thank you very much. Yep. Thank you, Mr. Rose.
Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Rose, I need some clarification. The numbers that Mr. Alpeyson gave us on the Hafner Court apartments, I believe he said there was $3.5 million. Was that the assessed value, or is that what the owners were asking for the purchase of the property? I guess my bottom line question is, how much do they want for the apartments?
So per the grant, we need to pay them the FEMA determined appraised dollar amount. So the $3.5 million was certainly not a price that we were able to afford. The second appraisal was much lower, $2.9 million. But with these two numbers, what FEMA does is they pull their own appraisal based on these two numbers, and that's generally about in the middle of the other two. And so at that point, FEMA didn't continue the grant. And so if everything proceeded, we would probably have had to pay about $3 million for those properties.
And does that include the $1.1 million for the assistance for people moving and the demolition?
It does not.
So it would be a package price of about $4.1 million. Thank you.
Mr. Hales.
Thank you. I just want to jump back to something Mr. Clay said and Ms. Carr. You know, yes, that clearly if you watch TV and you saw some of these folks and what they had to deal with, we are talking about real people, and I think we all recognize that. From a policy standpoint, I understand what Mr. Cross said, but is there anything, can the city require at least disclosure in these areas to potential tenants of properties like this? And I know that there's certainly signs over there. I've been driven over there, and they're actually on the television as well, that, you know, road floods during or heavy rains or something like that. So the signs are over there. But I just thought of watching some of these folks that, you know, some of them might not have been told exactly when the last time this was flooded. And it's from a policy standpoint, is that something we can look at?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Hales, it's something that we can consider. I would really defer to John, because I know our city attorney, John Mulligan, will need to do some research to determine how far we can go with the disclosures. Norm, and I'll leave it at that at this point.
I think I'm even wondering whether or not the city would have the opportunity to go back to the landlord as often as we've gone out there for floods and determine what the costs are, or let the renters know that we've been out there pretty regularly, so that they just need to understand that this is we've been, I would prefer that there be something that the landlord understands that from here going forward the cost of public safety coming out to do this needs to be reimbursed because it's a known hazard. But anyway, we need to move on pretty quickly. But Mr. Clay,
yeah, very quickly, just given the interest in this, and I appreciate my colleagues expressing their concerns, can we get an update on this next meeting? Like what we're thinking, what we might want to do. I know we won't have the grant application, but there have been some. Mr. Hales had an idea about notification. Can we get an update as to whether or not that's feasible? Councilwoman Carr had an idea about condemnation of these first floor. Can we get an update on whether that's feasible? That's the kind of update I'm looking for.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clay, certainly I can provide an update to the Mayor and Council on what our findings are.
Thank you. Let's now move on to the next section of the agenda. We now have we have no unfinished business, new business. We have resolution number 2019-11, Mooney Kaufman Park Municipal Park Grant. Is there a motion to introduce and approve? Ms. Carr, is there a second? Seconded by Mr. McMahon. Is there discussion? Hearing no discussion, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. We now have resolution number 2019-12, Municipal Park Grant, Greensfelder Park. Is there a motion to approve? Mr. McMahon, is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Smotherson. Any discussion? Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. Brief question that I have about Greensfelder Park, and I'm just finding it interesting that we're doing the resolution to look into how to improve the park. But I was wondering, why do we have an update about MSD and their request to put in tanks or underground tanks at Heeman Park? The reason I ask that question is because the only park that's large enough to accommodate a lot of the things that happen at Heeman Park, if in fact MSD moves forward with Heeman Park as their project site, is Greensfelder Park. Greensfelder Park is the only park that actually can accommodate the concerts that we have with the U City Band, with the Starlight Concerts, actually accommodating having another soccer field and softball field or baseball field. So is there an update on that, because I'd hate to have us spend money unnecessarily when it could be MSD's money. So that's my question.
Honorable Mayor and Councilmember Smotherson, the MSD is continuing to explore what is going to be the best design. As you know, we have a agreement with them that at a minimum says that the storage tanks will be underground. It leaves a lot of room for exactly where those tanks will be, depending upon what the findings are. We have certainly asked them to take a very close look at Heeman Park, because with them being underground, we could receive money for the restoration and perhaps the improvement of no matter where they go. I would ask Mr. Dunkel, I don't know if there is any other information from MSD at this point. They're still doing their exploratory work, as I understand it.
At this time, MSD has been doing borings at Heeman Park site. They have completed the borings, and it'll probably be sometime between 6 and 9 months before they have the results to see if the soils and everything there are suitable for the project, and that's where we're at this time.
You have before you a motion for the introduced the Greensfelder Park Municipal Grant. Any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Now I have resolution number 2019-13, Municipal Park Grant for Ackert Park. Is there a motion to approve? Motion by Ms. Carr, seconded by Mr. Smotherson. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Council reports in business. Any items that you would like to report on for the commission's that you attend, or other items of discussion? Mr. Smotherson.
Very quickly, thank you, Mayor Crow. I just wanted to report that Arts and Letters does have two openings, and I'm hoping that our great and wonderful city clerk will appoint assign that to the appropriate council person to choose. But I wanted to make sure that the council understood this and just make an announcement about Arts and Letters, and make sure you're aware that Arts and Letters is a unique commission. It's probably unique to other cities in that we have a working commission. They actually work and plan events. They schedule and contract with bands. They schedule public art issues and projects, and they also schedule meetings and work with the school district for returning artists. It is a working commission. So just making sure and reminding the council that you to let the people that you nominate know this is a working commission. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Hales.
Thank you. I just want to make sure Mr. Jennings hears this for his friends in the Northmore Park neighborhood. There is going to be, I understand, a special traffic commission meeting to deal with the proposed dog kennel in Northmore Park on Bland at 6:30 on Thursday, August 22nd. And that is all I have to report.
Okay. Thank you. We'll now move to the next section of citizen comments. We have two requests to speak. Our first request to speak is Ms. Erin Ginsburg.
Honorable Mayor and City Council, my name is Erin Ginsburg. I live at 430 West Point Court, and I'm here to share UCity TNR's latest community kitty update. In the past two weeks, in University City's second ward, our volunteers trapped, neutered, vaccinated, and returned three adult cats. University City's Police and Fire Department also saved a kitten from a car engine, and this kitten is getting ready for adoption at a local rescue that we partner with. Last Sunday was the annual Dog and Cat Days of Summer picnic and bake sale. We partner with Pound Pals Cat Aid Fund and St. Louis County Save to help educate our neighbors about the benefits of TNR. Last but not least, UCity TNR is laying the groundwork to regularly host the Op Spot Veterinary Van. Operation Stop Pet Overpopulation Today will provide low-cost neutering and vaccinations for UCity's pets and community cats if UCity can provide an appropriate location. The Heman Park Community Center would be ideal. Mr. Cross and his staff are working with us, in addition to partnering with County Animal Control, to secure this location. We look forward to the day when low-cost veterinary care is regularly accessible to everyone in our community. Thank you.
Thank you. Our final request to speak is Mr. Hugh, and I want to make sure as you come forward to speak that if, in fact, you were directed to come tonight and there were deficiencies in the application, that you should have been told ahead of time. And so on behalf of myself, I would say I am sorry, but we'd sure like to we welcome you to speak and to give your name and address and move forward. How's that? You need to hit the if you could hit the microphone at the bottom. Thank you.
That's fine. My name is Robert Hu. I live at 162 Saddleford Drive. That is not in UCity. It's in Chesterfield, Missouri. I'm here as managing officer of Pokey Dokey. We opened in May, finally, at the old Chipotle location, if you're aware of where that is. We submitted our liquor license application in hopes of being able to serve liquor to our customers that keep berating us about it and why we don't have our liquor license. To be honest with you, I just wanted to make sure that you knew who you were, you know, dealing with, and you know, have a face behind the paperwork and understand where we're coming from. On the application that we submitted, forgive me for misunderstanding. I guess that it was brought to my attention at approximately 2 p.m. from someone named Pam who called me and said that there was an issue with our application because we had signatures from real estate owners in the city of UCity, but that was different from resident or something like along those lines. So I didn't quite understand it over the phone. I was hoping for a chance to get that addressed today by a council member to explain to me what the difference is between a real estate owner in the city of UCity and a resident as far as what it's needed for in this particular matter. The matter being, where it says here under Chapter 6 or 600, Section 600.080, la la la, a petition must be submitted in favor of a license. In the absence of a valid petition, the City Council must have a 5/7 vote to approve the license. Now, I just want to try not to take too much time here. When I completed this application, I actually thought that UCity was ahead of the rest of the cities as far as this process, and was simply saying that it's recommended to get this done, and we offered the due diligence to get it done. But we were also thinking that perhaps we didn't even, you know, you guys just needed to see that there was a due diligence effort, but it could still be approved by a 5/7 majority. And so I didn't know if that was a misunderstanding on my part. I figured this is a good chance to clarify and also to better understand the holdup, because this is not the first time that I've been here for a liquor license for a different business, and we've used the same recommendations, and that's how I knew to use them again, to be quite frank. And so I don't know what's changed since then. It's probably been some time. But, you know, I'm actually here for once because I was called today, and I wasn't planning to be here tonight. I rearranged my schedule, said no to my baby at home to make sure I'm here tonight, to make sure that I don't have to wait a whole other month just because of some small issue that I don't really understand. And I'm hoping that whoever it is that does have the issue in the council can reassure me that, you know, there is a serious issue here that you know, would require this to be delayed another month. And then at the same time, is there any other remedy in the meantime? Because had I known from the moment I submitted the application or within a week of submitting the application, I probably would have been able to obtain whatever it is that was needed before this date. But we are a business. We are trying to get our feet on the ground. And so, you know, any help would be much appreciated, and the education, what have you.
Yep.
Yes, my understanding of the issue is that the code in the section that's relevant here is 600.060A.2, and that section states that an application must be accompanied by the recommendation of five resident citizens of the city vouching for the character and reputation of the applicant. And if you look at the council packet J-2-7, the application contains the names of two residents and three LLCs. Those LLCs own property in University City, but they're not citizens. And so you need word citizen is an individual as opposed to a business entity. And this issue has come up before, and the council has been consistent in applying it so that it has to be a resident citizen. And so that's the issue. So the application simply needs to be resubmitted with the five and then presented to the council.
And for me, as we spoke on the sidelines over there, it's not like citizens or individuals do not represent themselves as LLCs. Am I right?
There can be an individual that has an ownership interest. Is part of an LLC.
I'm just trying to explain to you the situation. Is that these folks that are individuals that own property in the city of East City may be registered as an LLC, but they are individuals just the same. They're not some company, corporation, business like what you're, you know, explaining to me. And I'm just trying to explain to you the difference. And also make it aware to the council that is holding it up, you know, what the difference is, and hopefully they can help me understand so that I'm better prepared and I don't waste the council's time and I don't waste my own time or any taxpayer's time, especially, you know, because we are simply just trying to do the right thing the way it's supposed to be done.
Correct. We understand that. Ms. Carr or Mr. McMahon.
May I defer to Mr. McMahon?
Sure.
Yeah, I've done this before where I've looked at these applications, and because it says it's a resident citizen, so it can be an individual. If these folks that owned the businesses lived in New City and were residents here,
yes,
I wouldn't have raised an issue about it because
sure.
That's what it is. But that's
so then my only other open question would be...
I mean, and just let me finish. Okay. That's why I raised it, because that's what the law requires us to do, and if I notice that this doesn't fit the qualification of a resident citizen that's vouching for your character, then I have to raise that issue. And I've raised it before, and the same process has happened to other business owners that have been trying to get liquor license, and we'll try to move it on as fast as we can, but that was it.
Okay.
You know, and the section that you read on the other page, that relates to a different...
But I was section. Explaining that how a normal person would think that that would apply given the circumstances, because they're all petitions... Right.
Well, yeah. Not to say that I'm not a normal person, but I might not read it that way. I'm just telling you that I've looked at these in the past, and I've raised the same concern, and we've done this to other businesses. And
right.
So because, quite frankly, sometimes if it wasn't an LLC or if it was a corporation,
right.
And we don't know who these people are, now we've got to track them down. So. Who knows what it is?
That was my question. So then what if I could give you their names that are attached to the LLCs, which are public record? Would that help expedite this situation at all?
As long as the people are resident citizens. If you
yes.
Say. Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say.
I mean, so I don't know if we could do it tonight. But we can't do it tonight, yeah, but yeah, certainly reapply. Yeah. Let's get it back moving.
Because they're telling me September now. And so that's why I took the time to come up here and just, hey, you know, I've been waiting for a month you know, I didn't hear anything until today, 2 o'clock p.m. I was told to come here if I didn't want to wait until September. And so I don't know what the miscommunication was, but, you know, I was here right on time, and I was hoping for my chance, but then I didn't really, you know, get one.
Here's what I would suggest, because we need to move forward. There won't be action taken tonight.
Okay.
And if you would resubmit the application, I bet you have about 10 people sitting in the audience right now who would be more than happy to be your, a whole bunch of them. So what I'm trying to say to you, you get your application back in, you move it forward, and
okay.
then the council and city manager and I will come up with whether or not we can address your needs sooner rather than later.
And
there is no guarantee.
We close at 9 and 10. We're not any of the other liquor establishments around us. We're not a bar. We're not a lounge.
We're
a fast food joint, but we are under, you know, stipulation
Correct.
That we have to apply for full because apparently some sake is rated as full.
Correct. We understand.
Okay.
And again, I would like to tell you again, I'm sorry. That
I appreciate that, Mayor.
Okay.
Thank you. It was nice to meet everyone. I just want to make sure you know who it is that, you know, got stonewalled, you know.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any comments made from members of council prior to moving into, do we have notice for an executive session? Oh, there it is. Okay, I'm sorry. Thank you. Any comments from members of council? Mr. Clay.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Just very quickly, Councilman Smotherson alluded to this, to the full agenda that we had, and many of the items were, construction capital projects, sidewalks, Fogarty Park, Accurate. And in the Accurate item specifically, it talked about, because we're using MoDOT funds in order to pay for the improvements, MoDOT has a minimum requirement of 12% minority or what they call disadvantaged businesses. And one of the things that I really want to lift up is that we are spending hundreds of thousands of dollars between the consent agenda items and those items that were pulled out. And so I want to make sure that we are doing more than the minimums, irrespective of where the funds come from, in terms of minority and women participation. There's a lot of dollars here, a lot of opportunity for work. And I understand the challenges around putting hard mandates in terms of percentages, although I have been associated with organizations that have done that, but I still do appreciate the challenges with that. But given that we are a university city, given the composition of our population, I would certainly hope that we are pushing beyond the minimums as it relates to minority participation. I did have some communication with City Manager Rose and with the hiring of a purchasing officer. I'm understanding that a program will be put forward to help address that. So I eagerly await getting more of an update on that program. But given the amount of items that were related to construction, I just wanted to lift that point up for the council. And I know my colleagues share in this concern.
Mr. Smotherson.
Just very quickly, thank you, Mayor Crow. And what I wanted to say to this council is, and I brought up the issue about half and a quarter apartments, and I want to thank each and every one of you for your comments tonight about that situation, because you've expressed everything and every concern that I have about half and a quarter apartments, and the concern I have for the people that they're renting to, because right now they got units that they're repairing and for approval to move people right back into those apartments. And it makes absolutely no sense with the history that we know of half and a quarter apartments. One other thing I want to jump to quickly is that I wanted to say this to the city manager, and I appreciate my colleague, Stacey Clay, in that I want something done about 1456 Laughlin. And the city manager knows exactly the house that he and I met at, and then met the brother who takes care of the house. Well, they don't take care of the house. And what I wanted to say this to Councilman Clay and to the city manager is that this is not an issue that should be passed down to myself, to Byron Price, to myself, and now Stacey Clay. I mean, if you understand what I'm saying. Now Ms. Creer has actually contacted Stacey Clay about the issue about that house. We should not be passing this down. We should be trying to resolve the issue about that house. And the last thing that I will actually say, and I want to thank Gerald Tears for his comments tonight, and I also want to thank Rosalind for her previous comments. What I want the council to understand about the subject that they're talking about in reference to the Third Ward and the housing situation of the Third Ward, I will be asking for a work study or study session with the WIF group so that we can talk about the issue that they're bringing up so that the council better understands this. And I want to do that actually in October, and I'll formally do that for an October study session. Thank you.
Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor. I would like to say something about the recent floods and the flood issue as well. As everyone remembers, I believe it was on Monday, early morning, July 22nd, when we had the rain that came down and was flooding the roadways and flooded the Hafner Court apartments. I remember vividly, very well, the 2008 flood, especially on Wilson Avenue, where two people died. My own house in 2008 had a foot and a half of water in it, as well as my neighbors. The flood on July 22nd that we just had, I believe, is the sixth or seventh largest flood that we've had in University City in many, many recent years. These rains come very fast and very quickly, and they're very scary. Even that day, I did not have flooding in my house, but all around my house, my yard, my back, and all of the neighborhood was flooded. The area of Mona and Groby Road was flooded. The fire department was there immediately. The fire department was assisting with the Hafner Court apartments, and I certainly appreciate that. I really appreciate that Mr. Rose is moving forward and having a joint meeting with the staff and MSD and the Army Corps of Engineers to try and get some answers as to who is responsible for the river to pair that goes through University City, because none of those agencies have really taken any responsibility. And this is a major problem with these floodings. We will have more floodings going on. Just as an aside, when we speak with the Army Corps of Engineers or with FEMA about the flood issues, the only thing they really tell us is to make sure that we have good flood insurance. And that's just not really a solution to what's going on. And incidentally, when Councilmember Clay brought up the renter's insurance does not cover flooding issues and flood insurance. That's a separate program, and it's expensive. And I'm not even 100% certain that renters can get into a program like that. I think only property owners are allowed to get into that program. Mandated at the federal level is exactly what the terms of the program are, and it's expensive. But I'm glad to hear that we're giving this, all of this, some attention, because it's desperately needed. Thank you.
Mr. Hales.
Thank you. I wanted to touch on one thing that was said earlier. I don't know who. I don't think it's any of us up here, but I have not heard anyone say that planning is not needed yet. In fact, to the opposite. We have had these conversations with each other. We have independently had these conversations with our new director of planning and development. And I do agree that we have very qualified people, but I don't want there to be any misunderstanding for anyone in the room or anyone watching the live stream that this city and Mr. Rose's staff is not already planning this. This has been going on for months. And I want to speak to something that actually Mr. McMahon said at the ceremony for the return of the ambulance service. He talked about how he thanked everyone for their patience, because, of course, you know, most folks wanted that to happen long time earlier than it did. But it took time to do the planning and to follow the steps and to get it right, and that is the most important thing here. In our consent agenda tonight, one of the expenditures that we had was vehicles for inspectors that will be visible, that will be seen by people on the street. I know that Mr. Cross has been compiling the data on the property owners and working to identify these absentee landlords and owners that own, you know, dozens and in some case 200 plus properties. This is no small task, and it did not happen overnight. I mean, this problem has been going on and has needed to be addressed for a number of years. And now that process has started. It started long before today, and it will continue. And I have every confidence in the direction that Mr. Rose and his staff are taking our city. Thank you.
Very briefly, before we move into closed session, I'd like to thank the city manager and, in particular, Chief Hinton for the successful implementation of our EMS services back, and to Allison and everyone who put together a very successful event. But as I thank those folks, I really primarily want to thank those of you in the audience and those of you who are watching at home for your diligence in making sure that we righted a wrong and we brought our ambulances back. The mutual aid, as you may have seen over the past week, has been quite active between us and our neighbors, and I think that's what we had wanted and that's what we intended. So to each of you, thank you, and I am glad that we are moving forward on that. I would welcome a motion for us to go into closed session under Missouri Revised Statute 610.021, Legal Actions. Is there a motion? Motion by Ms. Carr, seconded by Mr. McMahon. Any discussion? Hearing none, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Hales?
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick?
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson? Councilmember Clay? Councilmember Carr?
Aye.
Councilmember McMahon?
Aye.
Mayor Crowe?
Aye. Thank you very much.